Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our gospel, particularly the first half of the reading, is the sermon text for this day, but we also must touch on the other scriptures we've heard. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah, and others said he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Dear brothers and sisters, the theme of the gospel here, in large part, deals with the acceptance of the rejection of God's word in our lives. At its extreme, the rejection brings about what Amos had been prophesying to the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, after the split. When Solomon died and his son took over the throne, he increased the taxes and rebellion that led the northern 10 tribes away. They called themselves Israel most of the time, and Judah became the name of the land around Jerusalem. The tribe of Judah and a bit of Benjamin and some of the Levites were all that were left of the nation that God had made under Moses, Joshua, that he had used to expand and conquer the land that he had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. There are others, though, too, here. God's people, also in the southern kingdom, in Judah. God's people before the land was divided. God's people from the beginning hear his word and all too often take it in the way they want to take it rather than the way God intends it. Take it as advisory rather than as an absolute. Take it or leave it. It started with Eve and Adam and it continues right up to this day. Herod was not a true Jew. He was, as the scriptures name him, an Idumean, an Edomite, one who was left over from that branch of the Abraham family, from Jacob's twin brother, who didn't get the blessing, who didn't get the birthright. The Edomites were almost wiped out at the same time as Israel and some of the other lands, but like all of the others, a remnant remained. And his family had positioned itself so that at the time of the Roman occupation, they were ready to step in. Herod the Great had ruled the entire land, and when he died, it was divided up among his children. And this Herod had that land in Galilee, the land that Jesus grew up in, the land that he came from, the land of most of his disciples. King Herod was a spectacular sinner, maybe not as bad as the old man, but quite capable of himself. And he kept hearing these stories that were going around in the land. Well, the response right here, what King Herod had heard of, was Jesus sending out his disciples to cast out demons, to heal, to preach forgiveness and repentance in the name of the Lord. And he's worried because these words were being spoken with the same sort of authority that was reserved for the prophets. And Herod may not have paid any attention to the prophets of old, but he'd been up close and personal with one of them, and he was sure that that prophet was coming back to haunt him. That even though he had commanded his execution because of his lustful response to his stepdaughter's dancing, he thought that God had done something and had gotten John back in his face again. back telling him what was right and wrong. A compass that Herod seemed to lack in all too many circumstances. But it only went so far. He heard about it here, and he would continue to hear about it. There came a time when he wanted Jesus to come in, and he'd ask for him, and Jesus said, nope, not the time. They would finally meet face to face only in those hours before Jesus' suffering and death. And that big pass around with Pontius Pilate and Herod and back to Pilate before Jesus was led out to be crucified. And even at that time, Herod was quite willing to listen. He was excited at the chance for a miracle. He realized by then that Jesus was not John come back, but at the same time, he never got it. He assumed that things should go his way because he was the king. Just like we assume that things should go our way just because of who we are. Because we're good enough, we're smart enough, we're strong enough, we're something enough. That gives us the right to reinterpret God's word in the way that we want to hear it. To take the Ten Commandments and say, well, I'll take that one right there and I'll let somebody else have that one over there. Or I'll do part of this one, but not all of it, because that would just be too hard. And whether we do it well or whether we do it poorly, by choosing to live under the law, we are choosing to condemn ourselves by that same law. Because even if we say, I'll only keep part of that coveting commandment right there because I don't really want my neighbor's wife or his servants, but boy, I would sure like to have this new Camaro. Or, I won't commit adultery, but I will commit slander. Or, I haven't made any graven images, but really nice of the company that manufactured it to give me that nice big screen TV that I can bow down before on a regular basis. And when the Lord says, check your priorities, we'll say, well, okay. My priority right now is getting through my show. It's getting through my day. It's getting through my life. Come in and help me when I need it, and otherwise just don't bother me. We get it wrong. We see that this is the Lord's word. As Christians, we confess that it is. We confess our sins, but all too often we just confess the sins that we really don't care about. I'm sorry I did that because that's not on my usual menu. I stepped out of my comfort zone with that particular transgression. And we miss sometimes the sins that are closest. And the one we will always miss, as long as we are making ourselves the judge of God's word, as long as we are playing take it or leave it, pick or choose, buffet, cafeteria, I want that, but I don't want that because that's really yucky. It's the central one of you shall have no other gods. Herod's God was himself and his passions. He was able to sit and listen to John because John entertained him. He enthralled him. Almost like watching a train wreck, it seemed. He knew John was talking about him. He knew John was preaching against him, but he couldn't stop his ears. Seems that even in prison, Herod must have gone down and listened to John because he missed those old days when he would stand outside and rail against him and tell him what a horrible sinner he was. But when they played wife swap, he brought in another god. And she, it seems, overruled him, using her own daughter as the trick because she worshiped herself and her position and her prestige. And John was ruining all that because even in prison, he's basically calling her a whore. And she didn't want to hear that. It was not only too close to the truth, it was the truth. She had stepped outside of the bonds of marriage. Herod had done so much sinning, it seems, that one more big one didn't matter to him, but to her, at least for the sake of prestige and social standing, it was vital that this voice be shut up. And so she sent her daughter out to dance. And Salome must have given the dance of a lifetime, because when it was done, Herod was willing to give her anything up to half of his kingdom. Because he was worshiping her seductiveness. He was worshiping the passion with which she could dance. He was worshiping the things of himself, his desires, his lusts. Yes, his God was back there in center. I want what I want, and I'm going to get it no matter what it takes, up to half of my kingdom. And she said, I don't want half the kingdom. I just want the top part of John brought to me on a plate. And we could say, well, certainly, that's not me. That's the fifth commandment, right? You shall not murder. Well, I know I haven't ordered any prophets' heads cut off. I know I haven't picked up a gun or a knife and killed somebody. Don't know that I've even worked up a good hate. But the death came, the true death came. Not when John died, but when Herod put to death God's word completely. When even this most sacred commandment of God concerning human life, he violated. He was bound, he thought, because of his oath and because of the people who were there. If this had happened in private, perhaps he wouldn't have done it. He would have said, no, I changed my mind. You tricked me. But with this rich and wealthy clientele gathered around him, he couldn't afford to lose face in front of them, to show weakness, to show that he was a king who would go back on his word, because the people did not want a ruler who was fickle. They would rather have one who was harsh, but whose word could be trusted. When God's word comes to us, we can hate the messenger or we can hate the message, but we don't learn to hate ourselves. God's law comes to put to death the sinner that each one of us was born as and the sinner that keeps coming back. After each repentance, after each forgiveness we receive from God, that old Adam is just waiting for a new chance to break out, to twist us in its own warped pattern rather than to follow the plumb line, the straight path of God. And when God holds us up to that level, that straightness, we're all bent and crooked. As I said in Bible class, like the crooked man who walked the crooked mile, as some of you learned in your nursery rhymes, all of us earning our crooked sixpence and living our crooked lives. We don't like it because when God says straighten up, it involves the pain of straightening us up. We don't like it when God wants to heal us because that involves cutting into us and cutting out those things that we cherish. We don't like it because God says, I need to rip out that heart of yours because it is no good and replace it with one that is working correctly, one that beats with my beat. One that pumps not your sinful blood, but the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you on the cross. I need to remake you. And while the gospel is free and the gospel is painless for us, the law that prepares is anything but. He needs to knock us down, knock us out, tear us apart so that he can rebuild us in his image. And like people afraid to go to the dentist until our entire jaw is rotting off, rather than going in there for one quick drill and fill, we resist God until the poison fills our bodies. And when God says, there's something wrong with this picture right here, we say, yeah, you're butting in. And we may not pick up the sword or send someone else to do it, to cut off the heads of our pastors, our teachers, our parents, when they teach us as is their right when we are children. We will cut off the part of Scripture that we don't want. We will take under advisement those things that are probably better for us, but not really essential. And we'll go stumbling through our lives thinking that we're pretty good people and that we're pretty good Christians. And the Lord says, no. This needs radical surgery. Herod thought he could put to death God's word by cutting off the head of God's prophet, but that word just kept coming back. Because the same God who had sent John to call repentance, to baptize, and to directly rebuke Pharaoh and Herodias for their sin was the same God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and who sent him. Not only to call Israel and us to repentance, but also to bring about the repentance by his own sacrifice. Not only to demand that we be right, but to make us right. In him, the righteousness comes down and the peace comes up and they do kiss one another. In him, rebellious humanity is brought up to the presence of God and is not struck dead, but rather is perfected so that it can live in his presence forever and ever. The events of Amos were happening at Bethel, that place that Jacob named because he saw the picture of the angels ascending and descending on the ladder and said, surely this is the house of God. And Jesus then later would claim that ladder as himself and say, you will see the angels ascending and descending on me, the Son of Man. I will bridge the gap, but you have to come to this place as I want you. You need to leave your sins behind. You need to drop your passions. You need to be remade, not as a robot, not as a zombie, but rather as one who freely and truly chooses to love God and to follow him. And that will only happen when we cut away those things. And God sails into us. He gets out the knife. He gets out the drill. And our human nature shrinks away in terror. But because he has been gracious to us, because he has forgiven us, because we already know that we are his, that he has made his claim on us in baptism, and that we are predestined for grace, predestined for eternal life, that we are the heirs of the promises of God, we accept that pain, we accept that suffering, because we realize that the true pain and suffering Jesus already experienced. And that whatever it hurts us to have our sins taken away pales at what it hurt him to take those sins away. And as we truly repent, as we truly desire not to get into the old sinful patterns, once again, God provides that wonderful peace. That peace that surpasses understanding. That peace that only Jesus can give. That peace that restores and refreshes and heals, that gives all good things to those who wait on the Lord. He lays it out pretty clearly in today's lessons, doesn't he? According to the law, it's my way or the highway. And you better make it his way. According to the law, it is, if you do not line up perfectly with this level, then I will knock you down because you're not fit to stand in my presence. But according to the gospel, according to his love, he says, I am the highway. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you travel on this road, you will get where you need to be because I am with you forever and ever. And we celebrate that. God says, choose me because I chose you. You can't follow me out of terror, but you can out of love because I have loved you with the love of my Son, Jesus. We still have a chance. We have not fallen to the sword. We have not been overthrown. We have not been carried off into captivity, but rather we have been freed. And in that freedom, God invites us to follow, to confess the faith with our mouths, as we will do in just a moment in the Apostles' Creed, and to confess the faith with our lives, as we will do here and as we go out those doors. God says, choose wisely, because the wise one always chooses the fear of the Lord. God grant you that wisdom. God grant you true repentance, that you can give your sins away and not hang on to a few favorites. That you will allow God to make himself God in every part of your being and not try to hold a little corner off where you can worship yourself and your things and your ways and your attitudes. And God grant you the peace that surpasses understanding, that you may live in his peace forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, who comes to us to save us from our sins, amen. And again, that peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand now as we join in confessing the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into hell and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we gather the offering.